Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And today we're still continuing Genesis.
Yes.
Okay.
We're almost
I
done.
wasn't sure. Okay, we're done yet. Okay. All righty.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us together here. Thank you for this podcast and thank you for your word. And please, as we study it today, open our minds and our hearts and so that we understand it and we remember it so we can share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're on chapter 41. So we're almost done because there's 50 chapters. As I was reading these, at first I read them and then and I thought, oh, okay, well, it's, you know, I was familiar with the story, but then as I dug in and I studied it and all that, like, man, there's so much here. So we'll go ahead and get started. So remember, Joseph was in prison and he interpreted the dreams for the baker and the cupbearer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so and then one was his interpretations came true. One was returned to his role and the other one was hung. And but the baker was supposed to, you know, Joseph had told him, remember me, you know, when you're back in your position, remember me. But the baker doesn't remember him. He forgets him. So Joseph is forgotten in prison. So we'll start there. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams. So at the end of 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing beside the Nile when 7 healthy looking, well-fed cows came up from the Nile and began to graze among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, sickly and thin, came up from the Nile and stood beside those cows along the bank of the Nile. The sickly thin cows ate the healthy, well-fed cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep, so he falls back to sleep and dreamed a second time. 7 heads of grain, plump and good, came up on one stalk. After them, 7 heads of grain, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 plump, full ones. Then Pharaoh woke up, and it was only a dream. When morning came, he was troubled. So he summoned all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. So here we see that he had, you know, 2 dreams, but it was the same thing, back to back. And he wakes up troubled, you know, so it was a dream that stuck with him that he couldn't, that troubled him. Mm-hmm. So that where he even seeks for someone to interpret it for him. Then the chief cupbearer, so the chief cupbearer, the one that Joseph had interpreted the dream for, said to Pharaoh, "Today I remembered my faults. Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he put me and the chief baker in the custody of the captain of the guards. He and I had dreams on the same night. Each dream had its own meaning. Now a young Hebrew, a slave of the captain of guards, was with us there. We told him our dreams. He interpreted our dreams for us, and each had its own interpretation. It turned out just the way he interpreted them to us." So here the cupbearer is like, oh, I remember my faults. I remember, you know, I was supposed to help him remember him when I'm back up here. And here we are 2 years later, and he's right. Like, I remember, he remembers his faults. So he tells Pharaoh about Joseph and that he can interpret the dreams. But here we can see where God's already working, right? Because we see that that Pharaoh has the dreams and that now is the opportunity for Joseph to come up. And it's been 2 years. So, you know, we can imagine how it was for Joseph that he's just waiting, you know, that he's having to wait. And
right,
we can relate to that because we've spent a lot of, I think we can all say that in our journeys, we have spent a lot of time waiting, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. But it doesn't mean that God isn't working, because now we see here where God is working. Mm-hmm. Then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and they quickly brought him from the dungeon. Again, they quickly, you know, so it might seem like we're waiting a long time, but then when it's time, it's in an instant. It happens quickly. Right. So Pharaoh brings Joseph out from the dungeon quickly. He shaved, changed his clothes, and went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it." And then Joseph says, "I am not able to," Joseph answered Pharaoh. "It is God who will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." So, you know, what a difference here from Joseph. Here he is in front of the king and able to win his freedom. And what a difference in Joseph from where here he's giving God the glory that it is God who will give Pharaoh the answer, to where he was before when he was using his dreams to brag to his brothers.
Right.
So how much he's grown here in this time. So we see how God has transformed him already in this time, you know, into where now here he is able to assist Pharaoh, and a chance for him to be where God needs him to be.
Right.
So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the back." So he tells him the whole dream that he had about the cows and the grain. And Pharaoh says, "I've never seen such sickly ones as these in all the land of Egypt." So it was a very vivid dream that really, you know, troubled him. And then he says their appearance was as bad as it had been before. "Then I woke up." So even the cows, after the sickly cows ate the well-fed cows, they still remained looking sickly. So then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams mean the same thing. The seven thin, sickly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven worthless, scorched heads of grain are 7 years of famine. It is just as I told Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt. After them, 7 years of famine will take place, and all the abundance in the land of Egypt will be forgotten. The famine will devastate the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because of the famine that follows it, for the famine will be very severe. Since the dream was given twice to Pharaoh, it means that the matter has been determined by God, and he will carry this out soon." And then that reminds us of the Bible, the scripture in Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, where it says, "By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established." So here, you know, he has the same dream twice. So it's a confirmation that it will happen, and it will happen soon. "So now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint overseers over the land and take a fifth of the harvest of the land of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. Let them gather all the excess food during these good years that are coming. Under Pharaoh's authority, store the grain in the city so they may preserve it as food. The food will be a reserve for the land during the 7 years of famine that will take place in the land of Egypt. Then the country will not be wiped out by the famine." So here we see too where Joseph is not only interpreting the dream, but he's also giving Pharaoh now wisdom.
Instructions,
yes, on what to do. And he's saying, Pharaoh, you know, he could have easily said, "Hey, I can do this for you. I used to be I used to run the captain's house for him and do all that stuff. Let me do it." But no, he only instructs Pharaoh, you know, "This is what you should do, you know, because this and this is happening. This is what you need to do." And put somebody in charge of this, this, and that. So he gives them wisdom. So we see there too where Joseph has grown. Joseph is exalted. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And he said to them, can we find anyone like this, a man who has God's spirit in him? So Pharaoh was so impressed with Joseph that he saw God's spirit in him. He saw the Holy Spirit in Joseph. And we've read that all through Joseph's story, how people have seen God's spirit in him.
Right.
So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one as discerning and wise as you are. You will be over my house, and all my people will obey your commands. Only I as king will be greater than you. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, see, I am placing you over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him with fine linen garments, and placed a gold chain around his neck. He had Joseph ride in his second chariot, and servants called out before him, make way. So he placed him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and no one will be able to raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt without your permission. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephaneth Paneah and gave him a wife, Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. So, wow, what a restoration for
Joseph.
For Joseph. What a promotion, and how quickly it happened. Here he is sitting in prison thinking nothing's happening. You know, this is it. Probably, you know.
We don't know. Did it say how long he was in prison before he talked to the cupbearer?
Yeah, it was. Total, he was in there 2 years in prison.
But that was forgot about him, right?
Right. He was in prison, and then I think the cupbearer and that other guy came right after. Total, he was in prison 2 years. So we don't know after. Okay. Yeah, after he left, how many years total he was in prison? I'm sure it's in there somewhere. But he, because it says at the end of 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. So it says because it 40 ended with the cupbearer being put back in his role, and at the end of 2 years, Pharaoh had the dream. So it could have been It was 2 years or more. You know, that he was in prison waiting. So, but we see now.
Well, I guess this is my destiny, right? I'm meant to be in jail. And how humble is he that he didn't complain about it?
No, not at all.
He didn't try to manipulate his words to get out.
Right. Or take the glory get all the glory over the dreams because he was able to interpret them and all that stuff. He stayed humble throughout it all. And then, and also gave him wisdom without, hey, I'll tell you what to do if you give me that. Like, he didn't try to, like you said, to manipulate any of that. And just like that, like here, the king has given him everything.
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 Including
a wife. So we'll keep reading here. Joseph's administration.
That could be a reward for Joseph for being obedient and just going with the detour that God put him on, you know?
Yes. And remember, because even in prison, Joseph wasn't just, even in prison, he was over the prisoners, remember? Because they had put him in charge of the prisoners. So even while waiting in prison, you know, God still gave him a role there. And it's not to say that God wasn't doing anything while he was in there because he was over here, you know, working. Even though sometimes, you know, and a lot could have happened while Joseph was in prison because that could have, like you said, that could have made him bitter and anger. And especially then here we have the cupbearer that forgot him, and that could have really upset him, and it didn't, you know.
No, But if you think back from the very beginning, his brother sold him to slavery. Here's this woman claiming he raped her. So it's like he had so much.
Yeah.
And thought about it and thought about it and thought his revenge, you know?
Yep. And but yeah, because didn't. if we think of Cain and Abel too, remember how with Cain, he let all his emotions overcome him, that he killed it, that he plotted murder and killed his, and ended up killing his brother. And here we have Joseph and we don't get any of that. You know, we don't see any of that. And he's been, you know, he was thrown in the pit by his brothers. And then he's promoted and he gains that experience of working for the guard because they know that God is with them. Then, like mm-hmm. you said, that woman falsely accuses him. He's thrown into prison. So, right. you know, it's a roller coaster ride for him. And he has every reason to be bitter and angry, but he's not.
No.
And here God calls him up and he's ready. You know, he's mm-hmm. ready and he gives God all the glory. And, you know, we know that it was God speaking through him, giving him the wisdom and the knowledge that he needed to tell yes. Pharaoh what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we have, so Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph left Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout the land of Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced outstanding harvests. Joseph gathered all the excess food in the land of Egypt during the 7 years and put it in the cities. He put the food in every city from the fields around it. So Joseph stored up grain in such abundance like the sand of the sea that he stopped measuring it because it was beyond measure. So here God continues to bless him, you know, continues mm-hmm. to bless him with the abundance, more than enough to store for the famine that's coming. Two sons were born to Joseph before the years of famine arrived. Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest, bore them to him. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh and said, God has made me forget all my hardship and my whole family. And the second son he named Ephraim and said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. So there we see where Joseph is, you know, where he's not angry, you know, where right. where God has helped him forget his mm-hmm. hardship, you know, and where God has made him fruitful even in the land of his affliction.
Right.
Then the 7 years of abundance in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph has said, there was famine in every land, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When the whole land of Egypt was stricken with famine, the people cried out to Pharaoh for food. Pharaoh told all of Egypt, go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you. So the famine comes, and then everybody, Egypt is well off because they prepared for it, but then all right. the places around them are now running out of food. So every land came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, for the famine was severe in every land. Joseph's brothers in Egypt. When Jacob learned, remember Jacob and Joseph's brothers are all in Canaan. So they're still all in Canaan, and so the famine has hit their land. So now we have Jacob learns that there was grain in Egypt. So he says to his sons, Joseph's brothers, why do you keep looking at each other? Because here Jacob comes and tells the sons, hey, there's grain in Egypt. So right. now Joseph's brothers know, oh man, he's going to ask us to go to Egypt. And he says, why are you all looking at each other? Because they had sold Joseph as a slave to, right. to the Egyptians. So they know that's where Joseph is.
Yes.
So they're all looking at each other like, oh, man, we're going to have to go to Egypt, you know? So yep. it's enough where Jacob notices that they're all giving each other this weird look like something's going on. Listen, he went on, I have heard there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we will live and not die. So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt, but Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin. Remember, Benjamin and Joseph were from Rachel, and Jacob favored them. Mm-hmm. But then Jacob thought that Joseph had died because they, the brothers had sold him as a slave. So he doesn't send Benjamin. He sends all the other brothers. The sons of Israel were among those who came to buy grain, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Joseph was in charge of the country. He sold grain to all its people. So his brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. Now remember, Joseph's dreams where his brothers were going to bow down to him.
Right.
It's how Joseph's story begins. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan to buy food," they replied. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Joseph remembered his dreams about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the weakness of the land." So here Joseph's brothers come and they bow to him. They don't know that it's him. So they come and they bow and they're trying to buy food. Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize Joseph. And then, you know, Joseph doesn't know what state his brothers are in. So he accuses them of coming to spy on the land to see their weakness. "So my Lord, your servants have come to buy food," they said. "We are all sons of one man. We are honest. Your servants are not spies." "No," he said to them, "you have come to see the weakness of the land." So Joseph keeps giving them a hard time about this. But they replied, "We, your servants, were 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no longer living." So they're talking about Joseph.
Right.
They're assuming he's dead.
Yeah.
Then Joseph said to them, "I have spoken. You are spies. This is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one from among you to get your brother. The rest of you will be imprisoned so that your words can be tested to see if they are true. If they are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." So Joseph imprisoned them together for 3 days. So here, you know, Joseph, he doesn't know if his brothers are still in the same place that they were when they put him in the pit, where they envied him so much right. that they wanted to kill him because of right. the gift that he had, and then eventually ended up selling him. So, and then I'm assuming that Joseph is wondering, wait, where's my brother Benjamin, you mm-hmm. know?
I don't think he knew about Benjamin, right?
Well, when he left Benjamin, he was very little.
Okay.
He was way younger. So he never had a relationship with Benjamin.
Okay.
And I'm thinking here, he's probably like, "Man, my brothers, they sold me off." So I'm thinking that he wants his brother, now that he has him there, where's my little brother Benjamin, to try right. and maybe help him and save him, you know? So I think he's kind of testing his brothers to see what's going on without giving himself away.
Isn't it kind of funny too how Jacob didn't want to send him? Almost like, I wonder if he for so many years kind of thought, did my sons hurt my other son, my favorite son?
I think there was that, and there was also because he had already lost, you know, because remember that dad thought that Joseph was dead. He had already lost Joseph. He didn't want to risk losing Benjamin. Like I think he was very overprotective of Benjamin.
Yeah.
Because he almost acted like the other sons weren't his sons, you know, like he only cared about Rachel. Like the other ones were like, "Y'all go get the food." Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that he was very overprotective of Benjamin. So on the third day, Joseph said to them, "I fear God. Do this and you will live." So here Joseph tells them, "I fear God. Like, I'm a God, you know, I believe in God. Don't, you can trust me. I'm not going to hurt you. Do this right. and you will live. If you are honest, let one of you be confined to the guardhouse while the rest of you go and take grain to relieve the hunger of your household. Bring your youngest brother to me so that your words can be confirmed. Then you won't die." And they consented to this. So he's testing them, mm-hmm. you know, okay, one of y'all stay here. The rest of you take the food but bring me Benjamin and then I'll relieve your other brother. So he's testing right. them to see if they come back to get this brother. I think that he's trying to figure out, you know, is my brother still alive or what's the situation right. here? What's going on here?
Or like you said, what mindset are they in?
Are they in? Yep. Mm-hmm. Then they said to each other, obviously we are being punished for what we did to our brother. We saw his deep distress when he pleaded with us, but we would not listen. That is why this trouble has come to us. So here they're remembering their sin. They're like, this is happening to us because of what we did to Joseph. Now, mm-hmm. you know, this is, he's keeping our brother. He's telling us to go bring Benjamin. Like all this stuff is happening because of what we did. So they haven't forgotten their sins. And here we are, what, 13 years later, because he was 17 right. when he got caught. Now he's 30. Joseph is 30. Mm-hmm. And this goes to show that they haven't forgotten their sin. And, you know, they remember right. their sin and they're saying, we're being punished. This is because of what we did. But Reuben replied, didn't I tell you not to harm the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must account for his blood. They did not realize that Joseph understood them since there was an interpreter between them. So Joseph is, you know, listening and watching them to see how they how they react to all of this. He turned away from them and wept. So now, you know, we see where Joseph is at. Like his brothers are there, you know. He obviously missed them and he obviously still loves them because he's like overwhelmed with the emotion that he has to turn from them and he weeps, you know, he cries. When he turned back and spoke to them, he took Simon from them and had him bound before their eyes. Joseph then gave orders to fill their containers with grain. Return each man's silver to his sack and give them provisions for their journey. This order was carried out. They loaded the grain on their donkeys and left there. So here Joseph, you know, tells them, well, go get your other brother, take the food that you need, and I'm going to hold Simon here until you return with your younger brother. So this is a test to see if they do what Joseph asked him to do. Mm-hmm. So the brothers are having to trust him, go and do that, and then to try and rescue, come back and get Simon. So at the place where they lodged for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver there at the top of his bag. He said to his brothers, my silver has been returned. It's here in my bag. Their hearts sank, trembling. They turned to one another and said, what is this that God has done to us? When they reached their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. So they, not only did Joseph send them back with the food to feed their people, he also gave them their silver back that they had, the silver they used to pay for the grain. He gave them the silver back and the food. So now right. they're trembling with fear because they don't understand why Joseph did that.
Right.
So the man who is the lord of the country spoke harshly to us and accused us of spying on the country. But we told him, we are honest and not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of the same father. So they're explaining to the father what happened. You know, like we went and we tried to buy the grain. And then he started asking us, you know, we told him that we were 12 brothers, but we lost one. And we had a younger brother over here. And we had to leave Simon. We had to go, you know, he told us to bring back Benjamin. So they're trying to explain everything that happened to Jacob. So, and that this is, that he's testing them to see if they're being honest and they're not spies, they have to take back Benjamin. They have to bring back bring back your youngest brother to me and I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. I will then give your brother back to you and you can trade in the country. As they began emptying their sacks there, and each man's sack was his big bag of silver. When they and their father saw their bags of silver, they were afraid. So here it's like, why are they afraid? You know, here Joseph gave them back the grain and the silver, but they're afraid. They're like, man, he even gave us our money back. why did he give us our money back and the grade? But, you know, they're, I think because of their guilt, because of what they had did to Joseph, you know, that they already realized what they had did. You know, they remember, right, this is happening to us because of what we did to our brother. Mm-hmm. And then Joseph gave them back the silver and the grain. So they're not understanding why Joseph is being so generous to them. And right, I think because of their guilt, they're not able to recognize it as a gift. You know, they don't right know how to handle God's gift. They don't recognize it as a gift, and they don't know what to do with it, that right they're afraid. Then Reuben said to his father, you can kill my, oh, because then the father Jacob said to them, it's me that you make childless. Joseph is gone. Simon is gone. Now you want to take Benjamin? Everything happens to me. So Jacob is like, nope, y'all aren't taking Benjamin. Y'all aren't, you know, now Simon is gone. Joseph is gone. Y'all aren't taking Benjamin. You know, why is all this happening to me? So that, right, that tells us where Jacob's state of mind is now.
Right.
You know, from wrestling with God and being blessed by God and all of that. Mm-hmm. Now we see where Jacob is at. We see now where he's not
as confident in God
and God to where he was before, you know. So right, we see that with, yeah, as time has passed, that Jacob again has his relationship with God has changed once more,
right,
you know, and not for the better. But Jacob,
and you have to assume maybe that could have happened after he lost his son.
Maybe after he lost Joseph, like he might have, because here we he are, you know, mm-hmm, 13 years later. And so we can see that happening, you know, because of his grief for his son, where he might have distanced himself from God again. And he had lost Rachel too.
Right.
But Jacob answered, my son will not go down with you, for his brother is dead and he alone is left. If anything happens to him on your journey, you will bring my gray hairs down to Sheol in sorrow. So he's like, I'll die. If anything happens to Benjamin, I already lost, you know, Joseph and Simon and Rachel. And if anything happens to him, then I'll die.
Right.
But we see too that with the gifts that, you know, you would think that with Joseph giving them the food and the silver, that would help them trust.
Sign of faith.
Yeah, mm-hmm, sign of faith to trust Joseph, because he provided for them on their journey, you know. So, right, but they're not. Instead, they're letting their fear and assumptions right overtake them.
Overtake. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, the decision to return to Egypt. Now famine in the land was severe. When they had used up the grain they had brought back from Egypt, their father said to them, go back and buy us a little food. So they've now run out of the food that they went back with. So they're forced to go right back to Egypt.
Right.
So, but Judah said to him, the man specifically warned us that not to go back unless we take Benjamin with us. If we have to go back with, you know, for food, we have to take Benjamin with us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Jacob is like, why have you caused me so much trouble? Israel asked, why did you tell that man so much information about your brother? He's like, why'd you tell him all these things? But he's like, well, he asked all these questions, you know, like he was asking about you. He was asking about my brother. Da, da, da. Like, we didn't know, you know, and he's like, why you give him so much information? Then Judah said to his father, Israel, send the boy with me. We will be on our way so that we may live and not die. Neither we nor you nor our dependents. I will be responsible for him, for Benjamin. You can hold me personally accountable. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, I will be guilty before you forever. If we had not delayed, we could have come back twice by now. So this goes to show how they were. Simon is still over there with Joseph in jail. So they've waited so long that they've already run out of the food that he had given them. And You know, so like they're still contemplating and they're afraid to go back. They're afraid to go back and to take Benjamin back. But here Judah steps up and he says, let me, I'll be responsible for Benjamin. I'll take him. You know, I'll be responsible. If anything happens, it'll be my fault. I'll take that on. Then their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your packs and take them down to the man as a gift. And he tells them, take a little balsam, a little honey, you know, pistachios and almonds. So take twice as much silver with you. Return the silver that was returned to you and on top of your bag. So he's telling them not only the silver that you took the first time, but take more silver.
Right.
May God Almighty cause the man to be merciful to you so that he will release your other brother and Benjamin to you. As for me, if I am deprived of my sons, then I am deprived. So here Jacob is just like, you know, well, whatever happens, happens. Like he doesn't have a choice. He knows they have to go back and they have to take Benjamin because they need to get the food. So they return to Egypt. The men took this gift, double the amount of silver and Benjamin. They immediately went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to his steward, take the men to my house, slaughter an animal and prepare it, for they will eat with me at noon. The man did as Joseph had said and brought them to Joseph's house. So Joseph sees that they did as he had asked them to do. They went and they brought Benjamin. But the men were afraid because they were taken to Joseph's house. They said, we have been brought here because of the silver that was returned in our bags the first time. They intend to overpower us and seize us, make us slaves, and take our donkeys. So they're assuming the worst. They're assuming, oh, man, that's it. We're goners. You know, he's taking us to his house. They're going to execute us. You know, that they're going to say we took the silver. And so they approached Joseph's steward, and they spoke to him in the doorway of the house. So they're, like, trying to talk themselves out of this. Like, hey, you know, that's not what we just came here for, food, you know. And it says, my lord, we really did come down here the first time only to buy food. When we came to this place, we lodged for the night and opened our bags of grain. Each one's silver was at the top of the bag. It was the full amount of our silver. So they're trying to explain, like, hey, we didn't take the silver. It was there when we got back. And we don't know who put it in our bags. And they're just, you know, they have no idea what's going on. Then the steward said, may you be well. Don't be afraid. Your God and the God of your father must have put treasure in your bags. I received your silver. Then he brought Simon out to them. So here Joseph shows them, okay, you brought Benjamin. Here's Simon, you know. Mm-hmm. And the steward tells them, don't be afraid. Your God and the God of your father, Jacob's God, must have put the treasure in your bags. So the steward doesn't tell them. It was Joseph who put the silver back. Yeah. So the steward brought the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and got feed for their donkeys. Since the men had heard that they were going to eat at a meal there, they prepared the gift for Joseph's arrival at noon. When Joseph came home, they brought him the gift they had carried into the house, and they bowed to the ground before him. So again, they bowed to Joseph, you know, and Joseph is treating them with kindness. He brought them water to wash their feet. And he brought Simon back out. So how is your elderly father that you told me about? Is he still alive? And Joseph asked again about his father. They answered, your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive. And they knelt low and paid homage to him. When he looked up and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, he asked, is this your youngest brother that you told me about? Then he said, may God be gracious to you, my son. Joseph hurried out because he was overcome with emotion for his brother, and he was about to weep. So again, I can only imagine for Joseph, because he must have been really struggling, you know, because I'm sure he was remembering what they did to him. I think he must have really been struggling, you know, what is the right thing to do here? Like, how would Jesus want me to act like here? But then what was he really feeling inside, you know? Yeah. Because he must have been feeling.
And to think, like you said, all the emotions from those years, you know, did he bottle them up? Did he cry while he was alone? Mm-hmm. Like, how did he, or.
Right.
Well, I think some of those. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, did God put him in all these positions to keep his mind so busy that mm-hmm. he didn't have time to mourn or to feel mad, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's probably why now seeing everybody, it's like coming, rushing.
I think all those years, I think he was letting go of all that anger. I think God, that's why it took so long, is he was going through all those emotions, preparing him. So when he does
transforming him because
in order to accept them.
Remember when they threw him into the pit and then they sold him into slavery, and then remember he was he was doing really good when he was under the guards, the captain of the guard. When he worked for him, he was in charge of all the captain of the guard's household. So for several years, he did really well there. So he was blessed. Remember, they knew God was with them and all of that until the wife of the captain of the guard accused him of rape. And then he ended up in prison. But I think that all those things transformed him to trust God, because he could see God working in him. And remember how they kept saying, we could see God is in him. So I think that he matured a lot over that time. But I think here, seeing his brothers, like, it just brought all that up, and he was trying to do the godly thing, you know, and being kind to them. Mm-hmm. But I think he's also, I can only imagine that he's also trying to contain a lot of those emotions, you know, because I'm sure he wanted to say all kinds of things, like, you know, you meant to throw me in a pit, but look mm-hmm. where I am, you know,
exactly,
and look what God's done for me. And I'm sure too that he was happy to see them too, you know, and I think he had already forgiven them.
I think so too.
But that he at the same time was testing them because he didn't know where they were spiritually, you know.
Right.
You know, well, were they still those brothers who threw him into the pit and were trying to kill him?
The young,
you know?
Jealous, hateful brothers, right? Yeah.
And not only that, now here are his brothers. You know, he sees that his dream came true, that his brothers are bowing to him. But not only that, that they're starving, you know, because they have no food in their home, you know. Right. And here they are having to ask for food.
Right.
Well, and it's also like when you... someone has done you harm, even now, your spouse or whatever, and then they come back and your heart is already better to accept them. But now,
okay, hold on to that thought, what you're talking about.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I do know, but wait, let me finish this and then we'll go back to that.
You won't forget.
So when he looked up and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, he asked, is this your man? Then he went, okay, so he goes into their room and he cries, right? Because he's overfilled with emotion. Mm-hmm. They served him by himself, his brothers by themselves. They couldn't eat together because the Egyptians, for one, because of the status of Joseph. So the brothers had to eat by themselves together, and then the Egyptians by themselves, like I guess the servants, and then Joseph by himself, because they weren't allowed to eat together. The men looked, but when Benjamin was but Joseph sat them all in order by their age. Mm-hmm. And they were astonished because they were kind of like, I'm thinking they were like, wait, how does he know who's the oldest?
Right.
You know, like, how does he know who's the oldest? And then when he served Benjamin, a portion five times larger than any of the other brothers. So they drank and became drunk with Joseph. So they had a good dinner, right? They had a good dinner that they drank and became drunk. So with all that said, because like you were talking about, and now it's like when a spouse comes back, you know, and there's a lot of emotion there, right? And you're trying to figure out, I guess, where that spouse is. And is that what you were going to say, Nena?
I hope so.
what I was going to say, because there's like two things. Okay. I think you're thinking, and it might be in the same. But mine is when they come back, or the person who's hurt you, whether it be your spouse or your sibling or whatever, you've already, your heart's already forgiven them, right? You've already forgiven them. In your mind, you're like, I already forgive them. They come back, and then you're flooded with these emotions of everything they've done. And like, but remember this and remember this and remember, and you've already forgiven them because they're there, you know, you're already doing stuff, but those things still are coming up. So you're wrestling with your, I guess, your flesh, you're wrestling with yourself.
Right.
And that's why I was saying that Joseph is maybe there as he's serving them, as he's doing this, he's also going, processing those feelings, because it's one thing to say you forgive them and you accept them back, but when they're actually there, and you're starting to remember, because throw those little things at you and you start remembering them, and you're struggling now. It's like, no, you already forgave them. You already did. So that's what I think, there's that little battle going on
with Joseph. There's a little fine line there that it's hard to not cross, you know, because it's like, you might want to bring up the past. How could you do this to me? You know?
Definitely. I think for sure that's there. Yeah. And I think, I think too, that here we see where, okay, because if, think of okay, Joseph as Jesus now, right? Think of Joseph as Jesus now. And here, Joseph has transformed to where he's now, you know, because remember, and I don't know the scripture off the top of my head, of, you know, that the end goal is for us to get to that point where we are the image of Jesus, right? So here Joseph is trying to do the right thing. You know, like you said, he's forgiving them and all those things. And so here they come. They don't recognize Joseph. Joseph is this different person now, you know. He's this godly person. He's not that 17-year-old brother that was bragging about his dreams and his gifts and all that stuff. He's now this different godly person, you know. And they don't recognize him. And I think in the same way that happens too, as people transform, like here, you're coming back. Well, I'm in this different place now. I'm this different person, you know. But Joseph sees where they're not in the same place that he is, you know, and here they are. And that's kind of like I think us too, where if Joseph is Jesus, where we come, we didn't recognize Jesus right away, right? Because if we think of ourselves in the place of Joseph's brothers, where we're having to come to him because we need, you know, we need the bread of life, because it's like Joseph is giving them the bread of life. We need that water, like the woman at the well, we need that. And here we come to, Jesus is trying to help us, and we don't always recognize him either. But look at how Jesus, and the same where Joseph provided food for them, where Joseph is testing them to see where their hearts is. Mm-hmm. I think Jesus does the same thing for us, where he tested our heart. Well, go and do this. Leave your brother here. Because think about it, where you say your spouse, leave your spouse here. Mm-hmm. And I want you to go do this and this and this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then come back to me. The brothers could have said, well, forget Simon. We ain't coming back, you know?
I think if we look at all this and just exactly what you talked about, for Joseph to be this, you know, show off type of kid, and then you have the brothers jealous and prideful that they're not bowing down to nobody. And then you mentioned the woman at the well. The only thing, and I think for us too, all of us, right? Because we're blind at one moment in our life. And I think, thinking about this and everything that they went through, we have to humble ourselves in order to see Jesus.
Yes.
A humble heart is the only way to see Jesus, because if you're prideful, jealous, you have all these emotions.
It's look at how Jesus, you know, Jesus gave them those gifts back. He not only gave them the food, like, okay, I want you to go do this. Not only did he send them on a task, you know, like, well, go and do this. But he provided for their journey. He gave them the food to take back, and he gave them their silver back, like to get that trust. And I was thinking, I can remember when he did that with me in my journey. Like he gave me, he provided for me so that I can begin to trust him. But he also sent me on a journey, you know, to test my heart, because he knows us, you know,
right?
And then he knows what we can become. And I think that it's in that journey where we choose, what are we going to do? Okay. Are we going to, because look at how the brothers were struggling and with their guilt, you know, they didn't even know what to do with those gifts, because they're like, why did he give us this? You know, like what, because knowing what they had done, they didn't deserve it, that they didn't deserve it. And they didn't know how to accept it, you know?
Right. Especially because everything that was being given to them, I'm sure convicted them big time.
Oh, not just big. I think it was total conviction. Yep.
I mean, I think that's the same for us too. I'm not worried, you know, and I agree with you on the journey part, like just being able to humble myself. And then you have to, like Nina said, we have to forgive and do all this stuff. And I think it's hard sometimes to do that, you know. And I remember telling you, like, why did God make me a person with such a soft heart? Like, why do I have to have a soft heart and not a hard heart, you know? But I
can imagine. Yeah, that's why it's like when they came back and he sees, because Joseph is in a good place, and because Joseph, you know, gave himself to God, you know, because where he even ran away from that woman that was after him, you know, where that he's in such a good place that it even hurts them. It even hurts him to see his brothers, you know, go through that, because he has to keep removing himself to weep, you know.
But remember, he didn't do it willingly. Joseph was put in those places. But if he had a choice, he probably wouldn't have gone. You know,
God
him away from God took his life away. I think
God allowed that to happen. God allowed that to happen in order for Joseph to be transformed. He might not have done it willingly, but it was to get Joseph where he needed to be, because we're going to see that by the end of Genesis, where Joseph was. God has sent Joseph ahead of his family in order to save Jacob and his brothers. You know, this is just the beginning. So God has sent Joseph ahead, and it could have been because maybe Joseph was stronger, you know, like stronger in the sense of, like his heart, you know, like to, and stronger in order to,
mind strong, like
a stronger will, you know.
Yeah, I knew what you were saying. I couldn't say it.
When I don't know, I was thinking it. Can't you read my mind, even?
sometimes.
but yes, I can see will. Now. Perfect. Yes, and I can see now where you know Jesus transformed. Like I could see myself in Joseph's place, and then, but I could also see myself in his brothers, where I was at, where his brothers were, but then where Joseph is now, and where God also tested me in several places, you know, to test my heart, to see where I would be, you know, what the decisions that I would make, because after they go back and they do bring Benjamin, the kindness of Joseph's heart, you know, that he accepts them and he wants to have a meal with them. Well, what does Jesus want? He wants to come in and dine with us, right? Which one, what is the scripture that says where, you know, he's at the door, he knocks at the door, and that if you let him in, he wants to dine with you. And, and that's what Jesus, that's what Joseph does. You know, he invites him in to his house and he dines with them.
Right.
So, So where were we? Did we finish? Oh, the brothers. Let's see.
The final test, 44.
44. Oh, okay. So the final test. Do we have enough time? Where are we at?
We have about another like 10 minutes.
Okay. Let's do it really quick. So Joseph commanded his steward, fill the men's bags with as much food as they can carry and put each one's silver at the top of his bag. Put my cup, the silver one, at the top of the youngest one's bag, along with the silver for his grain. So he did as Joseph told him. So there's still, Joseph gives them another test. You know, he tells them, okay, give them as as much grain as they, as much food as they can carry with them to take back. But put my cup, his silver one, at the top of Benjamin's bag. So he says, put my cup in the top of Benjamin's bag. At morning light, the men were sent off with their donkeys. They had gone very far from the city when Joseph said to his steward, get up, pursue the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Isn't this cup that my master drinks from, that uses for divination? What you have done is wrong. So Joseph puts his cup in Benjamin's bag and then sends his steward, go and find them. Say, you know, like, say my cup is missing, and then, right, you know, search them, and you're going to find the cup in Benjamin's bag. So then the steward goes and he finds the cup in Benjamin's. Well, he tells them, who took the, did y'all take the, someone took the cup from Joseph, you know, and, but the brothers say, they all say, we did not take that. Why would we take the cup? We didn't take the cup. Why would we do that? You know, he's always right. Treated us with kindness. Why would we take the cup? And they tell the steward, if you find the cup in our bags, then he must die. And whichever one of the bags that you find, then he must die. And the rest of us will become the Lord's slaves. We'll become his slaves. So the steward replied, what you have said is right, but only the one who is found to have it will be my slave, and the rest of you will be blameless. So each one so quickly lowered his sack to the ground and opened it. The steward searched, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each one loaded his donkey and returned to the city. When Judah and his brothers reached Joseph's house, he was still there. They fell to the ground before him. What is this you have done? Joseph said to them. Didn't you know that a man like me could uncover the truth of divination? What can we say to my Lord? Judah replied. How can we plead? How can we justify ourselves? God has exposed your servants' iniquity. We are now my Lord's slaves, both we and the one in whose possession the cup was found. Then Joseph said, I swear that I will not do this. The man in whose possession the cup was found will be my slave. The rest of you can go in peace to your father. So Joseph set it up so that the cup would be found in Benjamin's bag.
Right.
So that Benjamin would have to stay behind and be a slave. So, mm-hmm. I think Joseph is testing them, like, to see if they abandon Benjamin the way they abandoned Joseph. You know, because I'm thinking Joseph right. is thinking, if you abandon him, then Joseph can save him. I'll just keep right. him here with me and I'll save my brother, you know?
No, I never thought, I didn't think of it that way.
And so he's testing them to see
yeah.
what they do. So then, but then Judah's the one that said, let's sell Joseph to be a slave.
Right.
And Judah's the one that told Jacob, let me take my brother Benjamin back. I'll be responsible for him. So, but Judah approached him and said, my Lord, please let your servant speak personally to my Lord. Do not be angry with your servant, for you are like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servants, do you have a father or a brother? And we answered, my Lord, we have an elderly father and a younger brother, the child of old age. The boy's brother is dead. He is the only one of his mother's sons left, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him to me so that I can see him. So he tells them, you know, I can't leave Benjamin. I can't leave Benjamin because Benjamin is my father's only son left. So they talk like if they're not even Jacob's sons siblings, too.
Right.
So they're right. like, we can't leave Benjamin. You know, he's our other, his brother died. He's the only thing my father has left. And he told them the whole story. The only reason why he let me bring him was because I explained to him what had happened. And my father said, if I don't bring him back, then he's going to die. So Judah says, take me instead. I said, he must. And then he tells him too, like my father, he tells him everything that Jacob has said. One is gone from me. I said, he must have been torn to pieces and I have never seen him again. If you also take this one from me and anything happens to him, you will bring my gray hairs down to Sheol in sorrow. So he tells, there Joseph learns how his father felt after when he learned that he was dead. You know, that they had, when they lied and said that they had killed Joseph. So here, Joseph is seeing the sorrow that his father felt, you know, and now he's seeing how much, how his brothers have changed, because instead of abandoning Benjamin, Judah is now saying, take me, let Benjamin go, you know?
Right.
So they passed the test. Here Joseph sees that they're not the same brothers that they were when after what they did to him, you know. He sees that his mm-hmm. brothers are now, he sees how humble they are, you know. He sees because this showed him what Judah did was a display of sacrificial love. Yes. Yeah. Sacrificial love, right. and sacrificial love is the evidence of transformation. So here he sees his brothers have transformed, you know, that they didn't get mad when Benjamin received double the portion. They trusted each other, not accusing each other of stealing the cup. They humbled themselves and still bowed down, you know, the way they acted with towards Joseph. They could have gotten angry, they could have started a fight or anything, and they didn't. They, you know, were able to contain themselves and be respectful. They knew this was because of their sin against Joseph. You know, they realized that this is because of what we did to Joseph. It's coming back on us, you know. They offered themselves as slaves, not abandoning Benjamin, the favorite son. And they were concerned for their father. You know, they didn't want to put their father through that grief again. And Judah, well, he offers his life, you know, he offers his life for Benjamin. So here Joseph sees all of that. So, and that's where we're going to stop.
Right.
But what a transformation of the brothers and of Joseph during all of this time, you know?
Right. No, yeah, for sure. And I think they learned quickly, you know. I'm sure they probably had restless nights, no peace among their lives for all these years, you know. There's no way they could have that heavy guilt on them, you know. I mean, they sold their brother into slavery, but their first thought was to kill him.
And the way they talk about Benjamin now, like they see him as the way they protect him and all that, it was not how they acted towards Joseph at all in the beginning, you know. So we see here, but we also see where Joseph, how hard it was for Joseph to, because some of the commentators were saying how that Joseph was playing with them. And it wasn't, you know, by putting the cup and by sending them back to get Benjamin and all that stuff. But no, it was that Joseph was trying to see where their hearts were, you know. And I think that is exactly what Jesus does with us. It is exactly what Jesus does with us through test, you know, when he sends us to when we come to him, you know, when we finally come to him, return to him, and because we need that bread of life, you know, we need
is it more like he's testing our hearts for him, or does he test his heart so we can see it ourselves? Because he already knows our heart, right?
Well, yeah, he already knows our heart, but to see, because he knows what we can become. So he knows our hearts. It's for us. Yeah. It's for us, you know, because he already knows what we can become. And you see how through the, by sending them back and sending them back for Benjamin, and they knew the grief that it was going to cause their father. And they realized their sin, and the it was through that sorrow that it brought them of what could happen, that fear of what could happen, the guilt and all that changed their hearts and brought them to repentance, that transformed them. Because remember what we said about Judas and the difference between Judas and Peter, you know, like this could have gone any other way. They could have became they could have became, you know, worse than what they were. Because remember how one of the brothers was treating Tamar, remember? And all that. So they weren't, I forgot which brother it was.
The brother or the dad?
Was that Jake? No, which one was it? It was one of the brothers, I thought.
We're talking about that we just read, right, Tamar?
Yeah.
It was Judah, the dad. Remember, he was supposed to give the youngest son to her, but he didn't.
Oh, right, but he didn't. Right.
Right. Thinking of, well, if I just say real quickly, when you were talking about Judas and Simon, I think you're right. I think this last test would show them that they're true repentance, because, you know, even if they were still Judah, they would just be like, well, you know, we did all this for show. And if they would have left Benjamin, then he would have known for sure, you know, but they didn't. So that was like a true godly repentance right there.
Yes. They were able to sacrifice themselves for Benjamin, for their brother. Right. So that showed true repentance.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
man, and to put all that together, that's pretty good. I didn't think of it like that, but I like
it. Because I read it, and then I thought the same thing at first. Like, what's he doing with his brothers? Like, why is he saying, I couldn't put it together. But then as I started reading the commentaries and the studying it and all that stuff, I was like, oh, because, you know, it's like another test. And then he tested them again. But I think, yeah, he was trying to see, do I need to save my brother Benjamin from them? Or have they truly, you know, have they changed?
Yeah.
You know?
And I think they probably, well, they don't say, but you can just see, I'm sure they really, truly are sorry of what they did to their brother.
Yes. Yep.
For sure. Are we ready for our closing?
Yep. That's it. We got through 44.
And there's still more to come. And I think the ending is beautiful, you know?
Yes.
I shows what God can do, not just for them, but for every family that hangs on and fights for each other.
Yes.
We'll be closing with Psalm 36, verse 5 through 10. Lord, your faithful love reaches to heaven, your faithfulness to the clouds. The righteousness is like the highest mountains, your judgments like the deepest sea. Lord, you preserve people and animals. How priceless your faithful love is, God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They are filled from the abundance to your house. You let them drink from the refreshing streams, for the wellspring of life is with you. By means of your light, we see light. Spread your faithful love over those who know you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next week.